We are very excited to have Pastor Treiber with us. He comes every year. Last year, because of health reasons with his wife, he wasn't able to come, but he has been a great friend to our church, and we appreciate everything he's done. So, Brother Pastor Treiber, why don't you come up, and we're grateful for him. Let's give him a warm welcome as he comes.
Thank you so very much. My goodness, what a great crowd on this Thursday night. And I appreciate your enthusiasm, the singing, the specials, everything. This building is, you know what I think of it. I've said it all the time, but I've been saying it for 18 years. Yeah, but it is just unbelievable. You're to be commended. You stuck with it. All the difficulties with money and raising, and then Pastor Esposito's health and Brother Myers, what you have done, the people. I can't, the words failed me. I wish I had the words to express to you how grateful I am for this church. I feel like I'm in an uptown church. We used to have a nice church, but ours is garbage compared to this. I mean, my goodness, this is just beautiful. It's just, Pastor took me around, and I knew the gym floor wouldn't be in yet. Well, it's in, and it's beautiful. And everything, Brother Bobby, God bless you. All the drawings and the appointments, the colors, the scheme, everything. I want to go redo my church right now. It is just so beautiful. And Crystal, it's good to see you. And all of you, dear folks, you're just dear friends to us. Pastor and I were talking. I know there's other churches too, but I think our churches mirror so much one another. And I feel right at home with you people. Amen. The only difference is you people are rich and my people are poor. But this is just great. Thank you for being our friends and Pastor and Mrs. Pastor. You having marital problems? I see you're in the front row and she's in the second to the last row. Do I need to talk to you afterwards tonight? I can talk to you. It hasn't helped my marriage, but I can talk about yours. God bless you. This is great. I have a note here. The Chow family, are you in here tonight? I think they're probably here. And the Pineda family, I've got a note for you two folks. So, Brother George, you've seen me. Oh, you want to come and get it? You know, if I get it now, you're probably not going to listen. That's a nice, my beloved parents and mom and dad, here we go. So you'll see who that goes to. And then is there a David in the crowd here? It's a girl. I don't even know if she, maybe she's hunting you. A girl gave me this note. I was kind of confused. Is there a David here that needs this note? I don't know either. So maybe I'm supposed to give this somewhere else. I'm not going to give it away tonight unless it's a girl proposing to you. I better go figure out who this is supposed to go to. Is there a David here? Are you good looking? The girl told me you're good looking. I don't think it's you, son. Is this to you? No, you don't know? Do you know a girl in our area that's hunting you down? Well, maybe I better hold this. I don't know who I'm supposed to give this to. She acted like I knew. I'm going to find out when I get home tomorrow. And you parents, if you want to write a note, like Brother Pineda, it was such a sad thing. We had to move your daughter out of the dorm because she's not paid her bill. So we have some nice trees. She's been living under the trees. Brother Chow, where are you at? Your daughter, they're both living out there. At the end of the day, if there's food left over, we take a little bit of food and let them eat. But I think $1,000 cash would do it. So if I can get that, don't write a check. Just make it cash. I'll make sure they get it. That would be great. Thank you for being here. Let's see. It's I know what I asked somebody, not the pastor, what time you normally get out. I'll do my best to try to keep you on track. But when you get to a place like this, it's so very exciting for me. A lot of great churches, a lot of great things happening in America. But you also go to a lot of churches that are about as dead last year's Christmas tree. You know, the average church size in America is 46 people. And what God has given to you and the property, the buildings, the ministries, the school, the college here, God's just, maybe because of all you've gone through, he's just over-blessed you. And I feel like that's what God's done for us. He's been so good to us. And are you going to have a dedication Sunday when it's all done, or do you? We need to have a dedication Sunday and raise more money. There we go. Let me know if you're going to have a dedication, and I'll send some money down for the dedication Sunday for the next project. I admire you people, and thank you for staying strong in a day where a lot of folks don't stay strong. I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 20. I've got to get used to this. I've preached here a couple of times. I've got to get used to the entire crowd here. The other building over there, you just look out the window and you look straight ahead and you got everybody, you know, just like this. But this is a wide auditorium. The balcony is being used. And thank you for being here. You know, I love the ministry. And I love being a pastor. And I know I told my people when we went there, the church was 5 months old, just had about 20 people. We didn't own a thing. Didn't own a piece of ground or anything. We didn't own a psalm book. We had secondhand psalm book, secondhand Lord's table. They didn't match. We had about three we put together. And I said, if you'll let me come, I'll stay 50 years if God will give me health and if you'll let me stay. Well, that's almost 50 years. And it's a little over 48 years. And I'm nearing that 50. And I cannot tell what other people need to do in their lives, but I'm not planning on just 50. We're so close to the rapture. I want to stay in as long as I have half my mind and half my health and strength and the people want me to stay. I don't want to quit. But can I tell you something about Christianity? I'm speaking about quitters tonight. I have no respect for quitting anything. Now, understand, sometimes our health breaks, and sometimes we have good church members that have stopped coming because they're in health facilities. They're under huge treatments. They're bedridden. And I understand that happens. And I'm not going to look at someone like that. It's a godly Christian probably praying more than most of the folks that come to church, you know, and they're godly and they're awesome. But they cannot come, but they haven't quit on God. I'm amazed at this quitting business. We live in a quitting day. We give up so easily. The Z generation is age 12 to 27. Age 12 to 27 says, number one, we don't want any responsibility in life. We don't want responsibility. Much of that crowd's the dink crowd, D-I-N-K, you've heard about it, double income, no kids. And it's work a little bit and then play. They don't want a career, they don't want the church, the vast majority in this country, the vast majority thinks the government ought to give you everything. Give you your education, give you your food, give you your housing. That will destroy the manliness of a man, and that will destroy womanhood, that will destroy the family. Government does not owe you anything. But life, and that's the one thing we're fighting, because they believe in death. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Tonight, I want to give you my life verse. My life verse finally came to me 2 years ago this summer. I never had a life verse. I wanted one. We have one that's on my pulpit, Colossians 1:18, and it's engraved in there that in all things he might have the preeminence. We have a college verse, 1 Corinthians 2:2. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I have a verse I assigned for the college students and our church people, 3 John verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. If I'm on the road preaching, I always write down Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Tonight I got to sign a couple of these pretty little girls' Bibles and a couple of you handsome young men. And as I signed it, I signed my verse on preaching tonight. It's my life verse. But it took me 66 years of salvation to get it. The college president, when I walked across the college platform so many years ago, he gave me my diploma, and they had an old manual typewriter. You could see it on the 3x5 card, and it's typed this verse. And throughout life, it became very aware to me that's my verse. That's I've never had a verse before, but I have a verse as of 2 years ago. How many have a life verse? No problem if you don't. It took me all those years. How many have a life verse? You have a life verse? On the count of three, do you know it? On the count of three, let's all say our life verse, whatever it is, together. Ready? Begin. Sounds like speaking in tongues right there is what that sounded like. Someone had to have Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Who has Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? A lot in our church have that. How many had some other verse? But you know, it's amazing how God gave me that. I know this is my life verse. Paul, they said, don't go there. He said, I don't know what's going to happen when I go there. Bonds and imprisonment, probably is what's going to happen. But I'm going. I'm going to serve God. They said, well, they'll take your life. Well, bonds and imprisonments may happen. But it says in verse 24, and I want you to read my life verse together. Ready, begin. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. So I didn't tell you the chapter, did I? 20, 24. Are you ready? Huh. This is year 20, 24. Just thought of that right now. Wish I got this thought this year. All right. 2024. Ready? Acts 2024. Ready, begin. But none of these things move me. So that I might finish my course with joy. The word, I might finish my course. Finish is to complete. Whatever it is in life, you do it, complete it. You don't get halfway through and then stop. I remember my sophomore year, it was February, I was going to quit college. And I knew that night, one of my roommates had quit college, and another man in a large room of ours, we had about 50 guys in this barracks type place, and the next morning he quit school, and I said, I'm going to quit school. And that day I determined I was going to quit school. And I realized I could not make it to the ministry or anything. I just realized it was too hard, too difficult. And I went to my first music class that morning about 7 o'clock. And I got out of that class and I went back to my room like I always did every day. Read my Bible and prayed about 8 o'clock. And I was looking over a snow field, a field full of snow. And I was reading, I was in Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 12, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And the Spirit of God began to speak to my heart about that. If you run with the footmen, you're running with these right here in college, and they've wearied you. They cause you, you want to quit. How are you going to contend with the big boys, the horses? And I knew I'd have to call my dad and tell my dad. And I knew he would say, no, you don't quit. You stay right with it, son. And that day I wrote in my Bible, I wanted to go to Vietnam. I wanted to be a Marine. And I said, if I can't make it here, I can't make it in Vietnam. God was putting something in my heart that day. I'm not going to quit this church. You are not quitters. I look at what you've done in this beautiful complex and this beautiful property. How you it was not even possible to get this property, let alone the previous one, let alone the previous one. You had about 500,000 previous ones, but all the different buildings you had, everything you did, and everything that's been accomplished. How'd you get it? You didn't quit. Never give up. A blind lady, Fanny Crosby, wrote 7,000 poems and songs, wrote that. Never give up. Never give up to your troubles. Jesus will bid them depart. To finish means complete it. Amen. What God gives you, complete. I want to speak a message tonight. And my message is simply this. I'm dedicating this to quitters. Because unfortunately, if the Lord tarries, many of you will not be here in 5 or 10 years. And I'm not talking about the rapture if the Lord tarries. Let me prove something to you from the Bible. Jesus' greatest success rate was 25%. The greatest percent. It goes down from there. There were four types of soil and only one made it. So this is Jesus. His success rate was 25%. But his next success rate, that second, was 10%. Because he healed 10 lepers and one came back. The other nine drifted off. You never heard from them again. And by the way, one of his successes is zero. Matthew 26. When he needed his friends the most, the Bible says all forsook him and fled. Zero, 10, 25%. I believe I pastor, maybe they're watching, I don't know. I believe I pastor the greatest church in all the world, the greatest people. I admire them, they're dedicated, they're hard workers, they're soul winners. But you know what? In almost 50 years, we've had more quit than come and stay. And I've got a family, we reached them 45 years ago. Next month, they sit on the second row. And that Sunday, we reached them. Now, that little couple's had all their kids, and their kids have had kids, and they've had great kids and great-grandkids now in the Christian school. And they've got about six right now coming through the high school. But that was 45 years ago we reached them, and they stayed, and they're still in the second row. Three rows behind them on the same day 45 years ago was another couple. And that couple's been through, and both those couples through every building. I think about this man over here, chairman of my deacons. My wife and I reached him 47 years ago. And we went out to his a chief in the military. And we went out to his house on a Thursday night and led his wife Jackie to Christ. And they've been in our church, the Van Dykes, for all these 47 years. I've got them scattered. They're all over the place. But let me tell you, most quit. I want to come to the root of this thing of quitting. I don't want to quit. I don't want to have my body laying in a casket and my grandkids come by and say, there's Papa the quitter. I have too much of a testimony to keep for those kids. 14 grandkids. I want them to see faithful unto death. Doesn't mean I'm going to be able to be the pastor. I might get too wobbly. I might not have all my marbles. I might not be able to put two sentences together. And unfortunately, I've seen that happen in our church. Sometimes dementia, Alzheimer's, younger than I am. And my heart aches when I see that. I watch it. I'm watching it happen to some of our folks right now. It breaks your heart. Yep. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I've seen a lot of folks stay as well. Amen. You know any university in America, secular, private, Christian, university, college, less than 25% ever graduate. If you start as a freshman, 75% quit. We're in a re-enrollment. By the way, if you're Pacific Baptist College, you ought to re-enroll for next year. Right now, whenever the enrollment is. We just finished our re-enrollment campaign. And no, we don't have 25%. Freshmen, sophomore, juniors, it's 96 point, almost 97% said we're coming back. You know why that's so important? We need laborers. My file is that thick of churches across America that need a pastor. We have a file that needs assistant pastors and school teachers and secretaries and IT people and music people. There are so many needs to fill in America, but so few laborers to fill them. The laborers are few. Tonight, I want to talk to the sub about don't quit. You see, you start quitting on God, you'll quit on everything. You'll quit on your marriage. So, no, we're solid. Oh, I've seen that before. I've heard that before. I'm not a Mr. Negative, Chief Raincloud. I think I'm one of the most positive guys possible. But I'm going to tell you something. I watch people quit on their marriage. I watch people quit on their family. I watch people quit on church. I watch people quit on God. I watch them quit on their bus routes and their Sunday school class and their ministries and full-time service. I watch them quit. We just throw the towel in. There's always a root when people quit. God gives us illustrations right here in his book. May I mention the name Judas? Why did he quit? I mean, as respectful as I can, here's Jesus sitting right here. And the man that was entrusted with the money bag is right next to him. And that one closest to Jesus, right there handling the sacred money, that man right there quit over, it's crazy, he quit over money. Because he negotiated 30 pieces of silver for Jesus. And he said, I'm going to betray him with a kiss. And that one who I kiss on the cheek there, that one, he is the one that you can kill. And he got his 30 pieces of silver. By the way, when we get what we want, we generally want to get rid of it. Because he got his 30 pieces and he came back with the money, said, I shouldn't have done it. They said, what is that to us? And he took the money and he threw it down and he went out and hung himself. You chase money, you'll quit on everything. Money is not what you want to chase. Hold the things of this earth with a loose hand. We have a mortician in the church. I want to ask him this because I know the Western programs, he always die with a gun in his hand, you know. But I've been told that when a baby comes into this world, and I know this is true because I've seen enough of it, where little babies, shortly after birth, they're going to start grabbing for things. But you know, in death, you always die with your hand open because you can't take it with you.
Amen.
You've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. Lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth, pardon me, rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal and destroy. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. That's what you've done. Why would you live through all this and then quit? Why would you get Judas right next to Jesus and hold the money and then wind up quitting? I'm thinking in the Bible, the illustration of a man by the name of Ahithophel. Ahithophel was David's right-hand man for decades. He'd gone through everything with David. But Ahithophel never told anybody, never told David. I think I may have preached it here years ago. He had a little root problem. It was called bitterness. And Absalom was negotiating with Hushai how to kill his own dad. And he said, I want another second opinion. Bring Ahithophel in here. Ahithophel was the grandfather to Bathsheba. And Bathsheba had a husband by the name of Uriah, and David stole his granddaughter, Ahithophel's granddaughter, Bathsheba, and had a child out of wedlock with her. And Ahithophel kept working for David and serving with David, advising David, but that root of bitterness began to grow. Hebrews 12:15 says, lest by any means a root of bitterness springing up and defiling many. And when he said, I know how to kill David, I'll take care of it myself. And Ahithophel's advice was not heeded. And he went home, and the Bible says he set his house in order, and he went and hung himself. I'll tell you why people quit: bitterness. You cannot allow a little seed of bitterness to be sown in your heart toward anybody in life, any situation in life. You're going to have to get it over it and get it confessed and get it right with God and right with man. Judas quit for money. Ahithophel quit because of bitterness. Demas, bring in Demas for a minute. Colossians chapter 2, the year was 64 A.D. And in 64 A.D., Demas was on the revival campaign with the Apostle Paul. They were having great meetings. Demas was there, his right-hand man. But you get over to 2 Timothy when Paul's dying in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy 4, and it's the year 66 A.D., 2 years later. Paul's writing from a Roman prison. And it said, Demas hath forsaken me. You know the rest of it. Having loved this present, the world got him. Money gets us. Bitterness gets us. And in this case, with Demas, the world got him. And yet God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not it. When the world becomes so enamored in our life that I want the world. Guess what? You may love this church today, but you're going to be out the back door not coming back. I won't tell you how many years past 70, but I've been going to church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for over 70 some plus years. And I'm not the best Christian, but I tell you what, I've watched in small churches and in large churches, I've watched people come and go. We've never had a church fight or a church split in 48 and a half years, almost 49 years in July. We've never had that in our church. But I can recall sitting in churches where I've served in the days gone by where I grew up, good pastors, and this guy over here in the auditorium in a business meeting gets up and he yells at this guy over here and a business meeting, and they're all upset with one another in God's house. And guess what? That guy could name their name right now, and they quit on God probably 50 years ago. And by the way, it's affected their family. No, sir. Here's Demas. Demas wanted the world. Judas wanted money. A fifth of his problem was bitterness. Ananias and Sapphira, chapter 5, money. They lied. Lying became a way of life for them. Asa was a good king in 1 Chronicles. Or is it 2 Chronicles? 2 Chronicles. You get to chapter 16, it talks about how good he was. Just reforms, and he brought revival. Oh, he's such a good king. But then a little bit later in his ministry, as a king of Judah, he saw a battle and he got afraid. And he said, the seer, the prophet came to him and said, you need to depend on God. Trust God, believe God. And the Bible says he was wroth with the seer. That's a good thing to do. Get mad, get ticked off at the pastor. It's all his fault anyway. And he got mad at the seer. And then he got mad and took it out on some of the people. And the Bible says very clearly, he sought not the Lord, but relied on the Syrians. And repeatedly, he sought not the Lord. He used to seek God. Now he's not seeking God. You know why? Because he sought something that he thought could do better than God. He died. And all those good qualities that he had, he lost it all because he relied not on God. He quit on God. I'm reminded of Ahab. By the way, we say his name Ahab, think he's a bad guy. He was the king of Israel. There are 19 kings of Israel. They all were bad. Shame on them. Only ones that had good ones are some of the kings of Judah, and most of them were bad. 19 as well. But here's Ahab. What derailed his life? His wife. Sir, are you derailing your wife? Wife, are you derailing your husband? Parents, are you derailing your kids? What, we're going to get mad at church? We're going to get mad at the things of God? Back in 1954, we had a pastor. We were meeting in a little old a school that was kindergarten through 12th grade at one time, built in about 1860s, a little white clapboard in a building. And it was a one-room schoolhouse, and they built a larger high school and school, and we were using that. In the midst of all of that, our little town of about 2,500 people, I was a young kid, and we had a pastor, I can name his name now. And all of a sudden, one Sunday, he wasn't there. My mother and dad never said one word about it. Never said one word. He quit the ministry. He started selling cars. About 10 years ago, I was preaching a great distance from my church. And they said, we heard that you grew up in the mansion. I said, I did. They said, was your pastor, you remember? I said, I had a pastor. I said his name. But I don't know what happened. He goes, oh, that pastor ran off with another girl. And it destroyed his marriage. I went to my dad. I said, Dad, it had to be 54 to probably, I probably found out this story in 2000. Almost 50 years. I said, Dad, is that true? He said, well, son, I'm sorry you heard that, but it is true. I said, you never told us. He said, you didn't need to know. Why would you need to know that story? My dad was never one for covering sin or hiding sin, but he was never the broadcaster in the church either. I tell you what, I have so many people that have stayed. I've got 38 or 39 deacons, whatever the number is right now. And those deacons, the vast majority have been with me a lifetime. Some, they grew up there. They're younger men now. And now their families are there. But they've lived their entire life there. We have baptized, and you know, in our church, I don't know how you baptize, but we baptize them into our church. They become part of our church. We've baptized almost 20,000 people. That's 20,000 members. We're not running 20,000 on a Sunday. You know what happens? People quit. Bus captains quit. Sunday school teachers quit. You stay long enough, almost 50 years, we've had to replace almost everybody. My primary junior, primary church preacher, he's been teaching Sunday, layman Sunday school, preaching to those primary bus kids for 45 years. Beginner bus a layman, he's been preaching to those kids for 46 years. My junior church pastor, he was our school teacher for years. He had to retire. His health is bad. His wife is very bad right now. They moved out of state. 47 years. He never heard me preach on a Sunday morning. Just so faithful. And I'm not saying he was wrong for getting the care he needs personally and what his wife needs. I'm saying this. Those are men that stayed 45, 46, 47 years in the same spot. But people quit. I think of Saul, and I'm giving you all these illustrations. I'm watching that clock. I'm trying to figure it out. It's digital. I can't see it, but I'll figure it out. Does the sun come up over this way, or does it come this way? There's no windows there, so we're in good shape. I just need one guy to stand in the window and be Eutychus. About midnight, you fall out of the window, we'll raise you from the dead. Let me give you one more. I think of Saul in the Old Testament. What got him to quit? Jealousy. He was jealous of David. So jealous that he took his three boys and went up to Mount Gilboa fighting, and all three of his sons were killed, and he was killed. And God cursed that mountain. He says, nothing will grow here. If you go to Mount Gilboa, nothing grows there. But he threw away his boys. Seen a lot of that through the years. Threw away his family. Their boys' heads cut off. Because of his jealousy over David. The Galatian saints. Paul won those Galatian saints to Christ. But after a short time, he said, chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that ye are so far removed from him that has called you to another gospel, which is not another gospel. But there are some that would pervert the gospel. And here was this church that won to Christ by the apostle Paul. Can you imagine that? And he says, Paul said, where's the blessedness you spake of me? If it were possible, you would have plucked your eyes out for me. But now have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul said, chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? The important word is who. Who hath bewitched you? that you should follow. They were following a whole new doctrine. He said in chapter 5, verse 7, ye did run well. Who hath hindered thee? I'll start to wrap it up in a few moments. I'll give you something to remember, but I want you to understand, most people quit. For some reason, God was good to me and allowed me to crisscross this country for, I don't do it like I used to, but for about 45 years, I preached somewhere every week almost. You know, I look back, Pastor, almost every place I preached 40, 45 years ago, the vast majority of the preachers are not even preaching. And sometimes I think, why did I leave my wife and children on a Monday and a Tuesday to go preach, and these guys are out of the ministry, and many of those churches, the doors are closed. I used to travel the same churches a lot every year, and I'd go East Coast this, and I still do some, but I'd go and say, now, last year, Brother so-and-so was ushering. Where is he? I can think of a church in New England right now, and they said, oh, Brother Treber, that guy, remember, he picked us up at the airport every year. Every year you came, he'd pick you up at the airport. We'd go to lunch together. He'd pay for it. He was my right-hand man around here as a layman. He said his wife got a little bit upset with something, and he got upset at something, and they quit. I said, where are they going to church? He said, they're not. That had to be 40 years ago. Never got back in. It might be money that's going to get you out of church. It might be bitterness that's going to get you out of church. It might be, as in Paul's day, the Galatians, wrong influences, wrong friends. People are going to draw you away. I never get over it when someone leaves and they leave for nothing. Sometimes I'm fortunate if I get an email. So, by the way, Pastor, we've moved. By the way, Pastor, I'm fortunate sometimes. We've been in the church 35 years, but we're going to go down the road now. I'm glad my wife, Lord willing, she's not watching right now. I just got two of those letters this week. It happens quite often. But you're going to a church that doesn't have Sunday night church. Have you thought of that? I don't know how you walk away from a church like that. I have no idea. Well, it's California. Well, I know. My wife's from Illinois. You know what Illinois is like? There's signs on the border of Illinois and Indiana that said taxes are cheaper in Indiana. You people from Illinois, go back. Billboards. Well, right-wing conservative states, that's what I want. Where? Tennessee? They voted that the public schools are able to fly the gay pride sodomite flag yesterday. Is that what you want? I mean, come on. I preached in Tennessee just recently. Love Tennessee. Love it. Love it. But most preachers from Tennessee and my good friends in Georgia and Alabama, Mississippi, I was just preaching there, they'll say that's the Bible Belt. And the problem is we in the Bible Belt need to be belted with the Bible. Our churches are dead. They're dying. People are quitting. People are leaving. COVID came. Do you know that many churches cannot get a choir back? They can't get a choir back. It's just over. They don't want to sing. Most churches are not running the buses again. Just can't get them going. I've got churches say, we got buses sitting here. We want them to go, but nobody wants to do it. Do you know how rare this church is and how rare my church is? Brother Goddard, he's here a lot. You know his church. I'm not saying that we're the only ones. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm not going to quit by the grace of God. Yeah. I came home to the study of my house this morning. My wife was sitting there and was reading her Bible, and we were talking for a bit. She goes, what are you preaching? I said, I'm preaching a message I've never preached tonight. But I'm so burdened about this thing of quitting. I should have told her because she got going. You know a little bit what I'm talking about, how those women, how those women can do that, right? You know, you're sitting back there smiling, sister, but I can see you. I cannot see the clock, but can I watch you? You know what? I'll tell you right now, this church needs your wife to be the associate pastor. That would really go well. My wife said, if they did that, we wouldn't have any members left. Man, I just let them all have it, you know? And I said, I'm going to write down what you just said. She said, most people move so they can quit. That's profound. Most people just move away. God's led us. But what normally it means, you're not going to go to church. I was in Dallas preaching several years ago. I've told you this before, I believe, one time. 13 families stayed in a line after church on a Monday night. And all former members, all over that Dallas area. And every one of them, almost without fail, said the worst decision I ever made was leaving our home church. I said, where are you going? They said, well, we're hit and miss. Or we don't go. The next week I was in Florida. 13 families in Dallas, 13 families. It just happened to be that. Next week was Florida, 13 families. Waited in line afterwards. They said, we moved. I said, where are you going? Well, we're not really doing it, to be honest with you, Pastor. We're not going. The third week in a row, I was in the Midwest. And you're not going to believe it. 3 weeks in a row, 13 families each time. The vast majority said, we're not going to church. I don't want to move if it means I'm going to get my family out of the house of God. During COVID, I was preaching on that stadium way up high, and I came down off the stadium after morning service, and a lady and her husband came to the back there, weeping. Everything we know about God is, we got saved here, we got baptized, and our kids in the school, you know. I said, well, what's wrong? They said, do you know, and I won't make any mistake, this is not the state, but nearby, he said, do you know of a church, a good church like North Valley in Michigan? I said, well, yeah, I'm sure. Why? We bought a house and we're moving there. I said, when? They said, tomorrow. You move. I'm not saying you have to be hostage here, but you find a church before you find anything. You see, here's how we live today. We think that our secular job and secular life is our life, and then it's our family, and then it's our church. Wrong order. Your family needs the church. Jesus gave his life for the church. And so my wife went on. She goes, most people switch churches because they like to hide out. And she said to me lastly, I wrote it down, Pastor Treber, she said this, it's always a heart issue. One, people quit because they get aged. And I know maybe our minds or our bodies slow, our health does. But Titus 2 says the aged people finally have something to say. Well, I raised my kids, and I'm getting old. I'm going to give it over to I'm going to give it over to the young people. That's not Bible. I know a preacher who just died recently. You wouldn't know him. He's a good man. And he was in his 90s. He hadn't preached for years. Got too feeble. But his mother died at 103 or 104. She taught Sunday school for 80 years straight. Little girl's class. You see, you've got something to say. So when my kids didn't turn out, that has nothing to do with it. Maybe you know why they didn't turn out. Maybe they chose the wrong friends. Maybe, who knows? But don't be sitting in church saying, I can't do anything because, you know, my marriage fell apart. Well, you know, I'm sad for you. I always say when marriages fall apart, I watch who stays faithful to church, and that tells you who the innocent party was. People quit because they say, well, I'm too old. People quit because, well, we've raised our kids. They're in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Christian school, every sporting event. I know. What about your grandkids? I've watched people quit. They used to do great. And by the way, I've got longevity all over our church. I'm not criticizing my church, but I tell you, I've seen so many walk out on God nationwide. Thirdly, we quit because we like the world. You know, I have to give up so much, especially if you're an independent fundamental Baptist. People quit because they're embarrassed how their family turned out. I think of a lady and a husband in our church. He's with the Lord. She's still there. I think of when their kids all grew up in church and all went away from God. I watched that couple, solid couple. And they'd come to church, and I saw the same place they'd sit. They tried to sing, and God bless them. It didn't hurt me. I didn't think they were bad. They couldn't sing. Their hearts were so shattered. And then after a season, I watched them try to sing. And a little bit longer, I watched them sing some more. And by the way, you preach some things that weep. But when I buried that man, he was still a faithful man with a broken heart. And that widow lady in our church, she's such a faithful lady, just serving God with her life. Your family doesn't turn out. That doesn't give you any right to quit on God.
Amen.
Don't quit. I tell you another reason why people quit. They get offended. If anybody in our church has a right to be offended, it's me. They have never put me on the music schedule to sing. I had a lady quit the church. She's home with the Lord now. Her husband's home with the Lord. They quit our church. They'd been there 30-some years. And she said, I've got to sing. I have this gift. No, you don't know the half of it. I put her up. It was not even near the pitch. I mean, Brother Charlie, it was awful. It was terrible. I mean, I couldn't even muster up an amen because it would have been lying. It wasn't anything to amen. It was terrible. And we just sort of avoided it, putting it on the schedule. You know how you do that? You don't go up to Lacey, by the way, you stink. You've got a terrible voice. You can't do that. Next thing I know, she goes to a church nearby. After all those years, I've been her pastor. And she went with her husband. Of course, he followed. And they went to a church nearby. And the pastor made a mistake like this pastor. He let her sing. He called me and said, Brother Traber, why didn't you warn me? I said, put her up next month. She'll be singing every month in your church. She didn't sing again, and she got mad at that church. Don't get offended. I'll tell you why people quit, friends. I want to be very careful, and I'll be done. We grew up in the same church all those years, and we would have people get mad at the pastor and his wife, and I never understood why. And people would be vocal about it, and they'd quit church. My dad had a policy. He never talked evil of anybody. But I'd bring it up, and my sisters would bring it up, said, why'd those people leave our church? I remember my dad told us things like this. He said, there apparently was a problem that they didn't agree with. That's up to them. We'll never be their enemy. We'll never be unkind to them. We'll be polite, but kids, we want you to know, we're not going to birthday parties. We're not going to anniversaries. We're not going to events. They can have them. If we see them in the grocery store, we'll be very kind. Some of you don't understand that, but how would you like it if your best friend walked out on her husband and then you had the best friend over every week and the husband was still faithful to God? I mean, that would wound, wouldn't it? Friend, that kind of stuff, when people leave your church and there's a problem, you're going to get the same problem. It's like fleas. I have a young couple right now, and they're having to leave their house because the owner died, and they're renting it, and they got about another 30 days to go. And they went out and looked at a house this week, and I said, well, tell me about it. How'd it go? And they said, Pastor, we went in, and as soon as we got in the car, we were flea-bitten everywhere. I said, that's not the place you want to put your family. I'd be careful about hanging around people that are mad at your church. If they're mad at your pastor, something's wrong. I'm not saying pastors were perfect. Although you got two right here that are about as perfect as you can get. I tell my wife that all the time, and she doesn't believe it. We leave for, and we quit for an easier life. We quit because of sin. It always, and then we blame the church and the Christian school. Be careful, folks. Or we quit because we're backslidden. I'm just asking, don't quit. And if you do, get back in. John Mark quit on Paul. But Paul said when he was dying, I'm going to send John Mark to you. He's been profitable to me. He got it right. May I remind you of a man by the name of Jeremiah. He quit preaching the Bible in chapter 20. He was in prison. He got tired, and he quit. But can I tell you, after that little bout, he got back at it and served God. May I tell you about a man by the name of Peter? I'll never deny you. But three times in one day he denied. But you know what? He was also the man who preached the power of Pentecost. A young boy got away from God in our church probably 40 years ago, real bad. And he walked in the church that day, and I've been praying that he'd come back and been gone for a year or two, praying. And someone, first word out of their mouths, said this and broke my heart. Well, welcome to the prodigal. That's not what you want to say. When someone wants to come back and come back to the house of God, let's be kind. Amen. Weird, a different message. This is not time to quit. Don't quit anything. Don't quit your banquets. Keep them going. Don't quit your missions. Keep it going. Don't quit your class. Keep it going. Don't quit the buses. Don't quit the school. Don't quit singing. Don't quit expanding. Don't quit sowing. Don't quit any of this. Keep on. Keeping on. Paul said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so I finish my course, and I want to do it with joy. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for these dear friends, and I'm not trying to be unkind to them at all. I'm just so burdened about so many across this country just quitting our sound churches for rock and roll churches, our King James Bible for these new versions. It just burdens my heart. Our church choirs have very few elderly people in it. Our church choirs are basically young people. God, give us some white-haired men and ladies again. Some elderly people. Some folks that might even struggle to get up to the balcony, to the choir. May we just keep on keeping on till you come again. I'd like you to make a vow, and by the way, I don't make very many vows. I can number them on one hand, the vows I've made. Because a vow is something you keep, God says in Ecclesiastes 5. But I'm going to ask some of you to ponder over the next days and weeks to make a vow. I'm going to die by the grace of God, serving God, loving church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'm just going to be in this thing. Will you at least say, Brother Treber, I will ponder that over the next week or two or three. Before you even make a decision, I'll ponder that. So that I'm right now 15, and when I get to be 85, 95, I still want to be faithful to church, faithful to God. Don't make the vow tonight, but at least consider it over the next several days and weeks. Would you lift your hand? I'll consider it. Just make it a vow to God. You may put them down. My mother died at age 91, my dad at 93. The very difficult thing is when they both had to get out of the choir, they could not make it up there anymore. And then they died in that one little single room, 2 years apart. It was so sad when they could not go to church anymore. I'm not saying that you can always, you can't ever stop that class. My father could not have done it mentally. My mother could not have done it mentally. They could not have done it physically. Don't you police everybody else's life. But I tell you what, he was always so faithful. The very last song I have, my wife sitting on his bed with him, singing together an old hymn of the faith, "In the Sweet By and By." What a treasure to hear an old man sing that. Father, bless this church. Help us to get really concerned about living for Thee a lifetime. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed. The pianist plays. Will you come forward? Let's just pray about what we've heard here tonight. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to come. Thank you, God's people, for being here. You're such a good church. Thank you for your faithfulness.